Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Right Side Up with your host, Bill Huff and Mike Tagliavia, where we're talking politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing okay.
You've been busy at winding down the sugaring season here, haven't
you? Yeah, spent some time up in the sugar woods helping a friend pull taps. So I got some fresh air and some time outdoors and time with some friends. So it was good.
Yeah, well, sugaring, I don't know. It seemed like it was a short season, but I think a lot of people that I know did really well. It was a good year for them.
I've been hearing that it was a good year, and there are some, I think, who will continue to sugar for a little bit longer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's about wound up. A lot of buds showing on maple trees there now.
Yeah,
no, the climate change thing, all those maple trees were supposed to migrate to Quebec. We weren't supposed to be able to do that anymore.
Oh, okay. Well,
and here we are, banner year for most people.
Yes. So, well, I think the further into it we get, the more we're going to find out that this climate change thing is just a way to get people to give up things that they've become accustomed to. And the more information that comes out, the more actual scientific debate we have, I think the less and less grasp it's going to have on how things happen in our society. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with banning internal combustion vehicles, because EVs, look at right after the eclipse, everybody was leaving.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get home in time because there were lines and lines and lines of people waiting to charge their vehicles.
Yeah, you read the same article I did then, apparently.
Yes.
So yeah, one was it from Connecticut? There was a couple there from Connecticut.
And there was one
Tesla up here. And
one from Mass. And they were only in Mass.
Maybe it was Mass, yeah.
And they didn't get home till 4 in the morning, and it should have been like a 4 or 5 hour trip.
Yeah, so what was the deal? They were running out. Of course, traffic was
1 hour left in battery, and they found the first place. There was but it wasn't cars or something waiting.
No. I think it wasn't the first one. It was the wrong plug.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
So even there was a charging station, but they couldn't plug it in. Right, because Tesla's different than everybody else.
Oh, naturally, they have to be different.
Well,
they can't be.
And that's stupid to start. And I guess
why are they proprietary just to plug into electric?
Well, I guess that was Tesla.
Okay.
But anyway, I think they are trying to change that to make it more universal. But so they couldn't get charged there, and then they took off one down the road. I think in the St. Jay, and when they got there, it was 40 people ahead of them.
Yeah, and look. If you want to buy an electric car, more power to you. Bitch, don't force me to buy one, because I'm not interested. So, and the other thing is, when you look at the carbon footprint of my older truck versus a 7-year-old Tesla that might need a new battery at $23,000, the carbon footprint of my vehicle is lower than some of these newer EVs.
So I've been thinking about this, Mike. We talk about this sort of thing all the time, and you and a bunch of other people say, well, it's all about control. So if it is, what's the end game here?
The end game is, okay, I'll tell you, if somebody in power decides, hey, I don't like this right side up, they're really ticking me off. They just flip a switch. They find out where we're transmitting from, and they say, guess what? We're going to have a power failure on this road, or we're going to just shut you off. And there are ways to do it. You heard of smart meters, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, smart meters, there's a lot that they can determine just from a smart meter.
Yeah, so that's kind of like if you don't make the payments on your Tesla now, they can just reach out and shut it off until they get paid.
Yeah, that's it's kind of scary stuff.
Well, it is, but again, so they have the capability to do that, and they shut us down. Is that the end game, just to be able to shut us down?
Well, I think there's a number of things. It's not just, it's censorship, it's control.
Where do you go from there? I mean, what have they accomplished?
There was something I just saw, a quick video, and then I turned it off because it sounds ridiculous, but the idea of the social credit score, okay, and the idea of only what CBDCs, digital currency, and only digital currency. So you'll have what they call a digital wallet, if somebody decides they don't like you,
digital wallets now.
Yeah, well, okay, but if everybody only has that, you can, you know, you can't, if you purchase too much of something, they'll just shut you off. You can't go buy something. How's that for crazy?
Well, yeah, it's crazy, but then what have they accomplished? So they shut you down from making a purchase, and you.
I don't know if I get hungry, I want to eat, and I can't buy something. I'm going to be a little bit perturbed.
Well, but that, I guess that's my point. So they've got absolute control of you. Now what?
I don't know. I mean, talk to somebody who escaped from North Korea. I watched a video.
Is the idea that, you know, once they have ultimate control over everybody,
they make you do whatever you want?
Well, they're going to turn you into an army. Does it stop there? No, we're going to, you know, once you're doing everything I tell you to do, now what do we do? Do we go to North Korea with our army? And I'm trying to understand the end game here, Mike.
Well, I don't know exactly what the end game is because I'm not that evil, but I know that there's a lot of control that people are after. Okay, and I watched an interview of a woman who escaped North Korea, and some of the things that she was describing were absolutely, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to believe, because we have freedoms that in North Korea, honestly do not know.
Well, not just North Korea, but a lot of different places. But
right.
Yeah, I thought about that the other day. Well, if it is all about control, what?
I mean, it's not only about control, but that is one of the major aspects of it. Huh. It's control.
Possibly so.
And, you know, and with control, you get intimidation. You know,
all I need to do is show up and say, you know, capability to control.
Right. You know, me not be able to show up to a meeting with you for something. Bill, this is what happened. They shut me down. And you go and tell somebody else. The intimidation factor sometimes is enough to make some people comply with certain orders or implied requests, if you will.
Democrats do that all the time now. They'll do anything they can to shut down your speech, free speech, all in the name of democracy, because your speech is incorrect.
Right, right. So there are a lot of aspects to it. There are a lot of aspects to it. But look, we've talked about this before, in our homes, in our cars, all throughout our lives. All you need to do is sit back and look. We have all of these options. And phones. You got smartphones. You got, you know, flip phones. We have all these options. But why is there a push for only one option for energy? It just makes you think, want to try to figure out what, like you said, what's the total end game?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to ponder that question, Mike, I guess.
Yeah, and I ponder it too, and I look for reasons, and, you know, we've seen it. Yeah, control, how do you control people? Censorship, you know, give them only one option for energy, and you know, well, in the middle of a 10-degree day with a 20-mile-an-hour wind to 10-below wind chill factor, imagine having your whole town shut off because for some reason there's too much of a movement for, you know, to get back the use of your wood stove. Imagine if is it possible that they could say, oh, well, you can't cut any more trees for firewood?
Well, okay. 10 years ago,
I would have said no.
The end game is to have you freeze to death. So they want to kill you.
I mean,
that would be an end game. Now you're done. They don't have to deal with you anymore.
Well, I mean, how many would they have to eliminate to get the rest of a population to comply with whatever
with? That's the question. What is it that, you know, ultimately we're going to have to comply with? Just their will?
Yeah, I think that's basically it.
Is there something beyond that?
There are people out there. I mean, I've seen copies of videos, you know, people talking about how we're overpopulated. What are we, 6 or 8 billion people in the world?
Could be, yeah.
And there are some who've been talking about, you know, how billions of people should be eliminated because we're overtaxing the resources of Earth, which we're not.
Okay, so to me, that would be an end game. We're a billion people too many, and we're gonna get rid of them.
Well, there's plenty of stuff out there.
Once you got rid of a billion people, now you know you've accomplished your goal. I don't know, but hey, one of the first things we wanted to talk about, because we do like to talk about, you know, some concrete things on this show, not just ponder the big questions of the day, is Act 127, and this is, I think it's kind of the same deal that we've been talking about here thus far. It's a form of control.
Yes.
So I did want to make sure that people realized that the around town meeting time, when people had that first initial vote, there were about a third of the school budgets that got turned down. Right. And now we're in the process of those 30
going
or so
to a
schools.
Revote.
Yeah, going back to vote. They're all being shot down again. I think there's been six or eight, and there may have been one that I heard of that passed, but the majority of them are being shot down again, some by some huge numbers. And I just wanted to point out that there's a reason for that. And you can continue to go back to that school district and have them, you know, shave $500,000, cut a program, cut sport, and it's still not going to pass. You're not going to change the dynamics of what Act 127 did to us.
Right. But I think what will happen is more and more people will get educated to the dynamics, what's actually really going on in Act 127. And that's when people are going to wake up, and hopefully that's when November actually really makes a difference, because people realize that the legislature is what did it to them.
That's the point I want to make. We've got a couple
the
minutes
legislature
left
is at fault, and when segment. It comes time to vote, that's when you need to take your dissatisfaction out.
So I always use Thetford as an example, and I'll do that again. That's my hometown. I'm most familiar with the numbers that we have here.
Right.
The school budgets, between the elementary and high school, one was up 5%, the other was up 6%, but the school tax rate went up 46%.
Yeah.
So let's assume, it never does in Thetford, but let's assume that it got turned down.
Mm-hmm.
So the school board goes back to work, and they decide, okay, we're going to get rid of the increase entirely. We're going to level fund from last year. Cut it, you know, zero, go back to a zero base, it still means there's a 41% increase.
Right.
It's going to get turned down, or it should get, you know.
And that's
when
people, I think,
so,
are
so
finally going to realize.
So you can cut that school budget in half. It's not going to make a difference. It's Act 127 that has jumped right. that school rate like it has. And until Act 127 is repealed, they're going to continue to shoot down those school budgets.
Okay, but one of the purposes you and I are here is to inform and educate people as to what's the who, what, where, when, and why. So to us talking about it, and you, our listeners listening and then spreading the word amongst their neighbors who are ticked off about the school tax rate and increases, and not just the tax rate. How many people would be satisfied if our proficiency numbers were in the 80 percentile?
Another whole subject area.
But now most of them are 40% or less. We're talking about high schoolers who are performing at intermediate school levels or less. That's the key here.
Well, yeah, two different issues. And I was talking money, you're talking performance. But because these school budgets are still getting shot down, I want that, you know, if you're in one of those towns that it's in that situation where you've turned it down and turned it down twice now, you're that school board is never going to be able to cut enough to make a difference. It's Act 127. If you want something to change, if you want that school budget to pass,
right,
you've got to go to the legislature. And they've got to fix something and fix it now.
And I think, Bill, the only way it's going to happen is when we get a new legislature.
Oh, absolutely.
A new crew in there.
Absolutely.
Who understands fiscal responsibility. That's one of the reasons why I was bringing up performance. I come from the business in the private sector. You perform poorly, you go out of business because no one calls you back.
Remember in November.
Yes.
And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. More Right Side Up to come. here with more Right Side Up. Mike and I have been talking about the school funding issue in particular here this morning, and that the only way that those school budgets are ever going to pass is if they do something about Act 127, because that is the cause. In most cases, it is not the school budget. In some cases, it is. The way that thing was designed, there were a bunch of schools that padded budgets, and I know one school, I forget now whether it was Winooski or South Burlington, but one of them threw on, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, $9.5 million worth of debt service. They've borrowed money for the schools, and that's the interest payment, which means that's one reason why everybody's paying more, the 20%, because now we're helping that school pay their debt service.
Oh, how nice.
And going back and revoting on that local budget and having the school board cut a program or two is not going to change that. And that budget has already passed, where the rest of us are paying for $9.5 million debt service on somebody else's budget. So that's not going to change.
The insanity.
Well, it is. And at some point here, you're going to hit a brick wall pretty quick, because there are 30 schools that turned down budgets. And if 28 of them turn it down again.
Well, like I said, I believe people are going to wind up getting more and more educated to realize the legislature did it to them. The people they probably voted for did it to them.
Yes.
So hopefully they will make a point to vote against the people who did it to them, so we can get people who will actively pursue repealing it. And just so we can remind our listeners who are wondering, because I read an article, I forgot when and where, but there was some either Democrat or progressive was talking about how the Republicans never propose anything or never show.
That was Baruth on his tirade.
Okay, that's what I thought. Right. Okay. And he was basically lying, because I'm sure there's stuff on the wall. And what we mean is that in the state house, people
in the
committee rooms, they take legislation they're proposing and put it up. But if the majority doesn't want it, it dies.
Oh, no. If the chair of that committee doesn't want it dies.
So if the chair is a Democrat and they want to make a Republican or a conservative look bad, they just leave their legislation on the wall. It never gets discussed. So Phil Baruth can go out there and say they don't propose anything, which is not true.
Yeah, I think because of the numbers, I think there is one Republican that chairs a committee. Somebody that's been there for a long time.
How generous.
Yeah, but other than that, every committee, House and Senate, to the best of my knowledge, is chaired by a Democrat, and that you're right, they absolutely control what's even discussed. Yeah.
And this is why our listeners need to know that and be able to tell their friends who are voters what exactly is happening.
So we're talking about kids, and I've got just a couple of things that I've noticed, and it's all anecdotal, for the most part. I was visiting with some friends here just a couple nights ago, and I don't even know how we got on the topic, but they mentioned some of their friends. So it's once removed, twice removed. So I guess you got to take it with a grain of salt. But the story I heard was that my friend's friends had a kid, I would assume in elementary school, because they were supposed to go to a drag queen story hour at school.
They're still having that stuff?
Well, I guess. Like I said, I wasn't there. It's second, third-hand knowledge. But take it for whatever it is. The story that I heard was the kid didn't want to go. And after he'd refused the third time, his file was updated to indicate that he was a racist and a homophobe.
Unbelievable. Well, hopefully the parents are doing something.
Well, my understanding is now he's homeschooled or gone somewhere else. They took him out of public schools.
If he was anything below high school, it doesn't even follow.
Well, you don't send high schoolers to drag queen story hour. So it had, if the whole thing is true, then it had to be a younger kid. Hell, I've got friends, and he's misgendered somebody, and he's, I don't know how many times he's been sent to the principal's office and talked to, with parents brought in.
What are they doing about making sure these kids know math, science, English, and history?
That's not the priority
today. Well, it should be.
It's equity.
It should be equity.
So it's all about equity. Well, here's some more equity for you. This I did see. It was on the news, and there was a newscaster there that was interviewing a college student, and she claims she failed a college class because she used the term biological woman.
So she followed the science, and
not the right science.
See, wait a minute. Hold on.
There's science and then there's science, Mike.
Okay. She believes that DNA is what it is. And she referred to it in a paper, I guess, is what you're telling me.
Maybe it was a paper.
An assignment.
What I heard was that she, you know, it was spoken. She said something in class about a biological woman, and I guess you're not supposed to do
Unbelievable.
That.
Up is down, right is wrong.
Well, you can't even say that. You can't even say it. You can't have a discussion about it or voice an opinion.
Guess what? I'm going to say it. Biological woman. An adult female. Don't like it? Oh, well. It's still a free country for a little while longer.
Yeah, but just little things that I've picked up over the
very sad, very sad.
Oh my God! So I did want to touch on another bill. It's actually kind of a combination of a couple of bills, but it's one that we talked about here. I don't know, a month or two ago, we found a story about drug dealers in the state, in Vermont, that were getting off. They weren't being prosecuted, and it was because of, I would say, a loophole in Vermont's laws that said if a drug dealer dispensed drugs, sold drugs to somebody, and that person died, they couldn't be held responsible if they didn't knowingly give them what killed them. And in most cases these days is fentanyl.
Fentanyl laced.
So the defense in court, they questioned the drug dealer. Did you know there was fentanyl in that cocaine? He said, no, I didn't know. Well, I guess there's no way we can blame you then.
So hold on a minute. We have an admission that the guy dispensed an illegal drug.
Oh, yeah, no, that was not in question. Oh, no, that's fine.
It's fine.
Well, because it was the fentanyl that killed him, not the cocaine.
But
and he didn't know that there was fentanyl in there, so he can't be held responsible.
Here we go again. Up is down, right is wrong. Knowingly dispensing an illegal drug and completely getting off because
you didn't know
there was fentanyl in the illegal drug.
Yeah, we talked about this, and there's been a number of cases in Vermont that's how these people get off was what I would consider that loophole.
Insane technicality.
Well, the good news is there is a bill, S-58, and I believe they're actually looking at that and saying, well, that we probably shouldn't be sending these people free if they're a drug dealer. Maybe we ought to hold them responsible, but you wouldn't believe what the holdup is. It kind of conflicts with Act 201, which they passed a couple of years ago. So the issue is now a lot of these drug dealers don't dispense or sell the product themselves. You get a kid to go do it.
They use a mule.
Sure. Well, a mule to transport, or you pay somebody, or a human traffic kid, you put them to work. So it's not them that's doing the selling. So when they get caught, it's not the actual drug dealer. It's the whoever's working for the drug dealer.
Right.
Well, Act 201 changed the law, and it was going to be implemented over a period of time, but it changed the law so that 20 and 21-year-olds were going to be tried not in a criminal court, but in the family division of the Superior Court. They were going to be treated as a child.
This. Here we go again. Up is down, right is wrong. Now, so tell me where my thinking is wrong. So you can get a child who is a teacher or some educator misleads them, because that's what I believe it is, into thinking, say, little Susie wants to be little Johnny. And they can go and rush them off into this, take them off on a tangent and try to make little Susie little Johnny by administering drugs and therapy and everything else to try to talk them into changing their body.
Well, that's because
at whatever age.
Because little Susie knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing, right?
So we're going to back her.
But if you dispense drugs, you can go to, what, 21 or 21. Above? Yeah, this world
and
is
not be held responsible because we're going to treat you like a child. No. You're going to go to court in family district, superior court, where those records are the whole thing is secret.
It's sealed. Yeah.
So
I beg your pardon, but this is wrong.
So Act 201 actually had a schedule. So it wasn't going to go from 18 to 22. It was going to go from 18 to 19, and then from 19 to 20, and 20 to 21. And it was over a period of years. So it's actually been postponed two or three times now, and they're doing it again as part of this bill, the same bill, because they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want a 19-year-old to be treated like a child, but they're realizing, you know what, that these guys are running drugs, and somehow they got to be held responsible. So there's two parts to S-58. One is the trying to hold them responsible. You can't say I was ignorant about what I sold them
anymore.
But now they're going to postpone. I think going from 19 to 20 or from 18 to 19 for another year, if this bill passes.
Postpone it for another year. You know, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I guess now is a good time. How much did they propose to make us safer in this session?
I don't know.
Virtually nothing?
In their minds, Mike, the safe injection sites. They think, we're going to save people's lives. They think that that's making everybody safer.
So we were talking about this before. So you get somebody comes in, wants to shoot up heroin. And we've had plenty of people. I know I watched video a couple of years ago, guys driving behind this vehicle of somebody who is obviously on something. And this person drove off the road numerous times until they finally left the road far enough to where they wrecked. Okay, and luckily it was just one vehicle. It didn't collide with another. So you go to a safe injection site, then what? Do they give them a bed? Do they give them a chair? Do they sit, take their keys? Do they send them a taxi? Are we paying for taxis now too? How long will they get to stay? Will it be a hotel room? All of these questions don't get answered. We talk about it all the time, the law of unintended consequences. What are these people up in Montpelier thinking when they come up with this trash?
Well, that bill, the safe injection site thing, the proposal to have two of them in Vermont, actually passed out of the House. It's in the Senate now, and there are some modifications. There's been some amendments to that bill. Instead of two, now it's one. It'll be in Burlington, and incoming and outgoing mayor want it. So this is going to pass. We are going to have one of those sites in Vermont. It's going to happen.
So into third world country status.
Well, but now that it's in the Senate, they are at least addressing some of the questions that you just brought up. And, there's the fire department, I think, that said, you're going to have to not only have EMTs there or somebody that can administer Narcan, but you're going to have some professionals there to handle what is inevitably going to happen.
And you're going to need, they've already defunded the police in Burlington. You're going to need more law enforcement because this is going to bring.
Well, they're starting to have those conversations about how do they get there, how do they get back. Even to the point, I guess you smoke crack. Well, what if you do if the guy beside you is smoking crack? Does that mean the people that are working there are going to be exposed to it? Or the guy doing cocaine beside him is going to be exposed to it?
Secondhand smoke.
I don't know. I don't know.
Of unintended consequences. Yeah. Smacks in the head again.
Plenty to talk about. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Get home early from work if you say.
You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. We've been talking about a lot of little things going on in the legislature, some dealing with the illicit drugs that they're trying to legalize, safe injection sites that are not safe.
Yeah, just some updates, because now we've passed crossover. Some of the heat's off for a few weeks.
Right, for a few weeks.
Yeah. So some of the bills that were very active just before crossover now have moved on, and they haven't really been taken up by the next committee.
Okay.
Yep. So kind of a pause in action. But there's still some things going on. Actually, there was one bill that even prior to crossover, S-18, that sale of flavored e-liquids, nicotine products in Vermont, they wanted the Democrats wanted to ban it. Here again, is that more control? You're not going to have a flavored
I guess.
Cigarette?
Well, yeah. Supposedly because they're not safe, or they targeted
kids, supposedly. So what that means? What, anybody under 30 now?
Well, at any given day, yeah, probably.
Well, they wanted adults, 26, 7, to still be on their parents' insurance,
right? I think it was Maryland and California were trying to get violent offenders not to be held responsible or charged as adult or as felonies or something because their brains at 25 weren't quite developed. I mean, it's right is wrong.
It's insane. But if you haven't kept tabs on it, S-18 was a bill that the Democrats, progressives wanted to pass that would have banned the sale of flavored e-liquids and nicotine products in the state of Vermont. And it did pass, but the governor vetoed it. And by all indications, it looks like it's going to lie there. It's not going to go any farther because when it did pass, it didn't pass, 83 to 53 in the House, 18 to 11 in the Senate. So it looks like there's enough votes there, if it were the same, to uphold the gubernatorial veto. I think that one's going to die there. They were unsuccessful in banning those products. Of course, that would, I think it was a $17 million worth of revenue that would have gone by the wayside had they been banned.
Somebody looked at that and said, wait a minute, we want that money.
Well, and I'm sure that entered into the equation there, at some point. But, it's illegal to buy anyway. So
exactly.
We're talking 19, 20-year-olds or, right. I don't know, 30-year-olds. It doesn't make any difference. They're not capable of making a decision for themselves.
Kids can't buy alcohol. Some kids think alcohol tastes great, but it's still illegal for them to purchase it. It's illegal for someone to sell it to them, but it's still available.
Yeah, so bring you up to date on that one. The other one was, and not necessarily a bill, it's not a bill, but it comes out of the Secretary of State's office, Sarah Copeland-Hanses. And we told everybody here a couple of weeks ago that she was part of or promoting this Vermont campus voting challenge where they were going to give prizes to the colleges that registered the greatest number of voters. But now she's going on the road here. I forget, it was going to the League of Women Voters to some of their forums or meetings. And the whole topic now is ranked choice voting. My God.
It's a disaster.
Oh, it is.
It is a total disaster.
Yep. Well, and Burlington had it and got rid of it. Burlington got rid of it because it was so bad.
Wow.
If it came out
of Chicago, it's got to be awful.
You never know who's going to wind up winning an election.
No, you don't. The fourth place person, the person with polling in fourth, it could turn out to be the winner. It's just up is down, right is wrong.
The premise behind this thing is kind of stupid. We don't really have a majority. It's not over 50%. So how do we really know that he won? Well, he got the more votes than anybody else.
Right. I mean, because we don't.
And you know how...
We're not teaching any kind of logic in school to these kids anymore. So how are we going to wind up making sense to the younger generations who are coming up and are supposed to be the ones moving into the workforce and eventually being the ones who wind up serving in a Montpelier?
Well, that means trouble. Ranked choice voting is just a plan to elect every progressive that ever runs.
Yes, absolutely.
And you gotta, you know, kind of do an analysis. I've thought about this plenty. You know, if but you glance down the ballot and the, you know, some races there's not even a Republican running, but say there's a Republican, you might have a Libertarian, but chances are just a Republican. But then you've got a Democrat, and then you've got a Progressive, and then you got a Green Party, and then you got the, you know, XYZ Party, and you got ABC Party. So right there, you know, you can force the ranked choice voting by just ensuring that there's more than two on the ballot.
Right.
And you know, look at a ballot. How many people are on the ballot when it comes to presidential runs? 15, 20?
Right. That, yeah.
So
how long will it take for the election to come to an end?
Well, you know, just think about it. So you got a Republican voter that goes in and he's supposed to rank. So he prefers a Republican, he marks Republican. What's his next choice? A Democrat. That's his second choice. That's his third choice. That's his fourth choice.
Right.
You got a Democrat that goes and marks their ballot. Their first choice is the Democrat. Progressive is their second choice. The XYZ party's three, four.
Yep.
So because there's 15 people on the ballot, nobody gets a majority. So now you go to the second choice. Well, who gets voted in? It ain't the Republican, I can tell you that.
No.
And I think that's exactly what happened in the state of Maine. They tried it for a couple of years, and I forget if it was a U.S. House or a Senate race. And, whoever was winning had the plurality of votes in the beginning lost the election in the end.
Yeah, up is down. That seems to be a theme on this episode here.
Well, I mean, oh, my God, it's just crazy. And I, you know, people need to push back on this ranked choice voting.
Yeah,
it's
a disaster. And
it's absolutely a scheme.
I heard somebody at town meeting, when I was sitting at town meeting, somebody brought it up. What about ranked choice voting? And I almost fell over.
Oh, God. They want to do that in town?
No, this person was asking about it.
Oh,
happening
for
in
Montpelier.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, what'd Carl say?
I do not recall. I do not recall.
Of course, Carl, we're talking about one of our Democratic reps.
Yeah, reps from Orange One.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I'm sure he was probably all in favor of that.
I don't recall what his answer was.
I don't know. They give Carl a little bit of cover every once in a while, and that's another thing that Democrats will do. Is if they know they have the votes, somebody that is in a close district.
Yes, that becomes a habit.
Yeah, you can excuse them from voting with the party to make it look good. Yeah, I can. You know, this is probably why people hate politics. I mean,
I mean, vote the way you would normally vote, not to try to skate by, right? So
it's just unbelievable.
But.
I need to
break in here. I need to remind our listeners, if they want to get a hold of us, rightsideupradio@gmail.com. And if you can't listen on Tuesday mornings or Saturday mornings, go to WNTK.com, find the podcast header, click on it, look for Right Side Up, and you can click on any of numerous of our shows that are available there, and you can listen any time of the day or night. Give us a listen. Maybe let us know what you think.
Love to hear from you. So another thing we've been talking about here, and I think this is passed out of the House or Senate, wherever it started, and that's this make the rich pay thing, that 1%.
Oh, yeah.
But just to...
Those who can most afford it.
Yeah, well, just to update on that. So the 1% is those making $500,000 or more in... you know, we've gone into that those people don't work for wages, that sort of thing. They're able to manipulate income. But I did see numbers here the other day. They propose, or they estimate, that and 1% realize is somewhere around 3,000 people.
Right.
Possibly less. They're going to get an additional $74 million out of these people.
They're only going to do it once.
Yeah.
And then be gone.
Yep.
They're going to find a way, because they can afford to have people find ways, not legally, by, just so everybody knows, somewhere in the tax code, they're going to find something
that will get
them around this nonsense.
But just stop and think about that for a while. So there's 1%, 1% of the Vermont taxpayers now will be taxed an additional. They're already paying the federal rate. They're already paying the rates that everybody else does in Vermont. And don't say, they don't pay any taxes at all. You go to the tax department and look.
Yeah.
It is rare, extremely rare, that anybody pays little or no tax in the state of Vermont. In most years, everybody pays tax. And you're going to get $74 million more out of these people, and they're going to like it?
The people, whoever proposed this is not thinking it through.
Well, it's just...
I guarantee you, the people who are making that kind of money have already figured out a way to not be subject to that.
Unintended consequences. You and I talk about it all the time. It's the middle class that will once again be left whole in the bag.
$74 million.
Additional.
Ouch.
Not tax. Additional tax on top of what they're already paying.
Right. Icing on top of the icing.
I don't know. Hey, talking about things getting more expensive, going to have to pay more to mail a letter.
Yeah, isn't that great? And I was talking to somebody who works for the Postal Service, and he was talking about how there's talk of possibly closing White River Junction.
How do you do that? Yeah, that was the big thing. Yeah, White River Junction is a mail distribution center.
So why do you want to do that? Unless you really don't like rural America, you're going to make it harder for us to get our mail.
Well, they were going to ship it all to Hartford, Connecticut. So, yeah, you're right. I hadn't even thought about that. But, yeah, White River Junction is a major mail sorting center here in Vermont.
Right.
Serves a good portion of Upper New England. And they're talking about shutting that down and sending everything to Hartford, consolidating everything into Hartford, Connecticut.
That to me, that sends a message that they just don't care about rural Vermont or New Hampshire.
You could easily see. It's funny. I was... on the Board of Civil Authority here in Thetford for some amount of time, 4 years, I guess, two terms. And it was always odd. People would call and request a ballot, an absentee ballot.
Right.
And to look at dates that, it was mailed out and when actually received or probably more likely when it was returned.
Right.
A voter would put it in the mail. And it was always curious to see how many days it took to get back to the town hall, to the town clerks, right here, from one Thetford address to another Thetford address. And lots of times, it was 3 or 4 days.
Imagine what it's going to be if they close
White River. If it's got to go to Hartford.
Yeah, it's insane. But,
hey, if you haven't heard, stamps are going up this summer, July 14th, from 68 cents to 73 cents.
It is insane.
Oh, my word, 73 cents. And that's a 7.8% increase. So it's an 8% increase. My God, they should have taken a lesson from the Democrats. They got a 20% DMV fee increase.
Hey, don't give them any.
That's nothing. 8%, that's nothing, Mike. You can afford that. Come on.
Don't give them any ideas, Bill. Please. Please. They'll revise it.
Yeah. Oh, come on. We're just talking pennies, Mike.
Oh, is that all?
That's all it is.
So.
Yeah. So, well, and, I think that's the attitude in Montpelier. Oh, well, it's only $15, $20 million. Well, out of an $8.5 million budget, but it's...
How much can you bleed us?
Well, it's $15 million here. It's $20 million there. It's $100 million there. And then another $150 somewhere else.
That's a lot of jingle.
Well, this is a figure we had last week. The tax commissioner himself right here in the state of Vermont estimates that this year alone... Vermonters are going to pay an additional $496 million in taxes.
What's
this year alone?
$496. Enough is enough.
I'd agree. Hey, stay safe, stay informed. Listen to Right Side Up.